So our featured story is about this hearing which was held in the House Judiciary Committee. Trump administration continues to come under fire for their handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files, and specifically, people are demanding, one, that we get all the files, and two, that we actually see some accountability. And I believe we discussed this on Monday. In the files that have actually been released, we have found that the Department of Justice has identified six people that are likely incriminated in connection with Jeffrey Epstein, which is kind of a shock. Because again, last year they said the case is closed. We're not pursuing anybody. There's no persons of interest. There's no investigation ongoing. And inside the files that they released, they say that there are no fewer than six people that are likely incriminated, meaning they could be indicted if the DOJ pursued them. Now, the names have been redacted. Two of them have been unmasked by Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie, as a representative, has the privilege of seeing the unredacted files. He knows all six names. He's asking the DOJ to unredact those names, but he has offered two of them, and they are Les Wexner, the billionaire Jewish benefactor of Jeffrey Epstein, and an Emirati billionaire named, Suleiman something. I don't have the name memorized off the top of my head, but some Emirati businessman from the Gulf. That's two out of the four that have been named. And in any case, there's tons of pressure on the Trump administration. We want to know those names. We want all of the unredacted files. And we want the 3 million other files that the DOJ didn't even put out in any form. Well, Pam Bondi had to face the House Judiciary Committee today, and she was pressed about this. And this had to be the most extraordinary performance I have ever seen. Think about where we are here. You are in the middle of arguably one of the biggest scandals that has hit the government since like Dennis Hastert 20 years ago. This is one of the biggest political scandals, maybe since Monica Lewinsky, since Watergate. This is a really big deal. We're talking about a sex trafficker grooming underage girls, potentially for blackmail, in order to compromise, and this is documented, members of the British royal family, other foreign governments, involved with Israeli intelligence, involved with some of the most elite billionaires, elite members of the public and private sectors in American life. Trump is the president. He is connected to this. Many members of his cabinet are directly or indirectly connected to this. Think of where you are. Pam Bondi is the Attorney General of the United States. She has been forced to uncover up what she tried to cover up last year, and now she's hauled before the Judiciary Committee of Congress. She has to know she's going to be questioned about this. She has to know there are going to be questions about these 3 million Epstein files which were just released, and about those that are likely incriminated, and about the victims, and the nature of this. And she's pressed about all of it. And you know what her response was? She gets in front of the committee and she basically says, hey, why are we even talking about this? That's the playbook. She gets in front of the committee. You have Epstein's victims in the background. You got Democrats and Republicans pressing her. Hey, what's up with the rest of the files? When are you going to unredact the files? What are you going to say to the victims? Are you actually going to pursue the people that are incriminated in the files? And the playbook that is premeditated that she's running, she comes in and says, well, you know, this is all really just a big distraction. She goes, we should talk about something else like the stock market. The stock market? That was literally her response. She goes, well, what about the Dow Jones? And what about the NASDAQ? Why is no one talking about this? Well, let's see. For starters, you're the attorney general. So I don't know why you would be talking about the stock market when you run the Department of Justice. not the Department of the Treasury, not the National Economic Council, not the Commerce Department. You're the head of the Justice Department. So I don't know. Why don't we start there? She goes, why aren't we talking about the stock market? Well, for openers, you're the Attorney General. Number two, you're sitting before the House Judiciary Committee. So why would you think that would be appropriate? You think that the Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing with the Attorney General to talk about the economy? Why would that even make sense? That would be like bringing the head of the Defense Department or the War Department in front of the Intelligence Committee or Foreign Relations Committee and saying, hey, why aren't we talking about the Super Bowl? Why aren't we talking about education? I don't know. It's the Judiciary Committee and you're the Attorney General. This is a story from the Wall Street Journal about this disaster. It says, quote, Attorney General Pam Bondi defended the Justice Department's release of files from the Jeffrey Epstein investigation during a fiery congressional hearing in which she traded barbs with Democrats, praised President Trump, and declined to apologize to a group of the convicted sex offenders' victims seated behind her. Her appearance on Wednesday before the House Judiciary Committee got off to a tense start when Democrats blasted the department's redactions of material in the released Epstein files, which revealed photos and intimate details about numerous victims while keeping some prominent names secret. Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat, said, "Your department has shown a pattern of redacting the names of powerful predators." He asked the victims seated behind Bonnie to raise their hands if they had been unable to meet with the Justice Department to discuss their concerns. All 11 people raised their hands. He said, "Will you turn to them now and apologize for what the DOJ has put them through?" Bondi said, "I am not going to get in the gutter for this woman." Get in the gutter. The dramatic exchange set the tone for the rest of the hearing, with Bondi and her Democratic questioneers frequently interrupting each other with shouts and recriminations. She accused lawmakers of trying to engage in theatrics and directed pointed criticism at those challenging the Trump administration's actions, including its immigration crackdown and investigations into a pair of deadly shootings by federal agents. She said, "You sit here and attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I am not going to put up with it. The Dow is over 50,000 right now, the S&P at almost 7,000, and the NASDAQ smashing records. That's what we should be talking about." She said, "This isn't a circus, it's a hearing." The Dow, the NASDAQ? What is wrong with you? Are you retarded? You're the Attorney General. This is a hearing for the Judiciary Committee. You run the Justice Department. You are in the middle of a giant scandal with the Justice Department. You just released 3 million documents about a huge criminal investigation. And you're saying, why aren't we talking about the NASDAQ? I don't know. Why would we be talking about the NASDAQ here? Why would the Attorney General of the Justice Department at the Judiciary Committee in the middle of this scandal be talking about the stock market? You fucking idiot. I mean, does that even make any sense? One of the bill's primary sponsors, Representative Thomas Massie, questioned Bondi during Wednesday's hearing over what he described as multiple failures, including the inadvertent release of victim details and the redaction of famous names. He said, quote, "Literally the worst thing you could do to the survivors, you did," Massie told her. Bondi, in turn, blamed the Biden administration for its handling of the files. She said, "This cover-up spans decades and you are responsible for this portion of it." Or rather, that's what Thomas Massie said. Bondi was dismissive. She said, "This guy has Trump derangement syndrome. You're a failed politician." Representative Jamie Raskin said, "We saw your performance in the Senate and we're not going to accept that. This isn't a game." She hit back, "You don't tell me anything, you washed-up loser lawyer." Most Republicans rallied to Bondi's defense, saying she was working to correct a Justice Department that her Democratic predecessors had wielded as a weapon against Trump and his supporters. Representative Brandon Gill said, "Thank you for returning the DOJ back to its core focus, which is on the rule of law." Now, here is what likely happened. So first of all, let's just say this. This is a catastrophe. This is a total disaster. I don't know what they think they're doing here. I don't know if they think this is working or what they think they're getting away with. This is not working. They're not getting away with anything. And they haven't been for an entire year. I don't know what Trump is thinking. I don't know who is telling him that this is working, but it isn't. This Epstein scandal has been going on and on, basically for a year now. I believe it was in February of last year when they gave out the binders to DC Drano and Mike Cernovich and Scott Pressler. This has been going on since then. And then Pam Bondi said the files were on her desk. And then Trump lied and said that he didn't have 1,000 FBI agents look for his name in the files. And then they put out that memo saying case closed. Then they shut down Congress early to prevent them from forcing the DOJ to release the files. This has been going on and on for a year, and it's getting worse. This is getting worse all the time. It started out very small last February. They tried that binder distraction, and people were suspicious and people didn't like it, but it was relatively contained. Now, this is like destroying the GOP. Look at the favorables. Look at the numbers. It is a disaster. It is especially a disaster for the younger people. It is killing Trump's favorability. It's killing his job approval. Nobody is happy with this. And you see this performance today. This track is just not working, and it never has. This has been their playbook basically since July, where the public are demanding answers, which, by the way, they have a right to. Okay, Jeffrey Epstein was a very sick criminal connected to a lot of powerful people. The DOJ is lying about what they have. This is a problem of their own creation. It was the DOJ that said there are no files, there are no other persons of interest. Well, both of those things are now provably lies, demonstrably lies. We have 6 million files. Or rather, they have acknowledged the existence of 6 million files. We have 3 million. And we have, at the minimum, 6 people likely incriminated by the files, 4 of which have not been named. So this is a problem of their own creation. They lied about it. The public is reasonable for demanding transparency and disclosure. And the Trump administration's response, by the way, also to something that they promised. So Trump promised transparency. People are reasonable in demanding it. The DOJ lied and then debunked their own lie. And the Trump admin's response to the pressure is to say, well, this is just fake. This is all fake, and this all just needs to go away. This is all a Democrat hoax, and this is the Biden administration, and this is just a ploy, and we really just need to focus on the economy. And like I said, let's just say in the first place, this is not working. No one is buying this. This is not effective. This is not smart. This is a catastrophic failure. It's not even close. Like, it's a disaster. Now, why are they doing this? Let me tell you what is happening in the White House. Trump is delusional, okay? You need to know this. Trump is sick. He is a delusional person. I don't know if it's his age. I don't know if it's his personality. I don't know if it's because he's been in this reality distortion field for so long. But I know firsthand, from people that talk to the president, from people that know the president, this guy is delusional. You pick up the phone and talk to the president. You go to a meeting and talk to the president. And I know people that have done this, and it's hours of self-congratulations, hours of, this is my most successful administration. We've done more than anybody. The East Wing is going great. We've got the best numbers. It's all the... So this is like the Mad King. This guy is sick. He believes his own press. He is in his own world. Out here in reality, everybody knows this is a disaster. Everybody knows immigration's a disaster. The economy is a disaster. The foreign policy is a disaster. It's a giant disappointment. This Epstein thing is a catastrophe. He doesn't know that. Now, because of that, and because of his cult-like control over the administration, he is advising his people to run this playbook. So I'm sure that Pam Bondi is huddling with the president, huddling with the White House before this hearing, and they know the questions are coming. And I'm sure that Trump is telling his people that this is how they got to play it. I'm sure he's telling them, if you get attacked, if you get questions, you got to talk about our record. You got to go back to how good we're doing. This is Trump and this is Susie Wiles. This is coming from the White House. This is their directive. This is their guidance. And I'm sure little Pam Bondi, this dumb little idiot, is going to the House with her marching orders from Trump and Susie Wiles, and she's going, I'm hitting that playbook. They asked me about the giant cover-up of the sex trafficking island. I'm going to talk about the Dow. They asked me about the victims of grooming and sexual trafficking. I'm going to talk about the NASDAQ and the border. And here's the thing. For those that are defending this administration still somehow, at what point is there any accountability here? You know, because I know there are a lot of people still defending Trump and they still think it's five-dimensional chess and he's winning and, you know, everybody's like an armchair tactician and they're talking about how Minnesota's not really a retreat and this Epstein thing is going really well and all the rest of it. They say about Trump that he hired all the wrong people. Well, you know, Pam Bondi's the problem. Well, he's getting bad advice. Okay, who hired the people? You know, they say, well, Kristi Noem, well, she's just an idiot. Trump needs a better person. Pam Bondi, she's just an idiot. Trump needs better. He's just getting bad advice. Okay, but this has been going on for 10 years. I lived through the whole first administration, and it was the same story. It's bad personnel. He's got bad advisors. He's getting bad advice. Okay, well, you know, he's a grown man, and he's the president, and he's 100 years old. So, who hired these people? He did. He handpicked them. He hand-selected them. Who's taking the advice? He is. Like, there's no excuse. And then they want to blame it on the Biden administration. They say, well, this is Biden's DOJ. It's a Democrat op. This is left over from Biden. Okay, so why the fuck did we elect you then? We're a year in. We are a year in to our golden age. We are 25% through with the second term. And you don't have it figured out by now? They're still blaming it on the Democrats? Isn't that kind of what they do with everything? Why is there no peace in Ukraine? Well, the Democrats left us a mess. Why is the economy still bad? Well, the Democrats left us a mess. Well, why are the Epstein files still covered up? Well, the Democrats ruined the DOJ. Okay, so why elect Republicans then? If Democrats get in, everything's their fault. If Republicans get in, everything's the Democrats' fault. If Trump gets elected, well, it's not really his fault. It's only the people that he hired that are at fault. I've been saying it for a long time. The problem is him. This is a difficult pill for people to swallow, and I get it, and I understand, and I know. The problem is him. He is fundamentally not up to the job. He is out to lunch. He has never been good at governing, not in the first term, not in the second term. He does not have it together. His people suck. The advice sucks. His instincts are terrible. And I'm sure he told Pam Bondi, you got to go out there in the House and you just got to go on the record. You got to go and play up our record and you got to dodge all this stuff about Epstein. Now, here's the problem for Trump. This Epstein scandal is not going anywhere. This is a huge problem. Everybody knows about it. We don't have censorship anymore, so people that are talking about it are not going to be banned. They're not going to be silenced or deboosted. And this is going to go straight into the midterms. What do you think the Democrat playbook is going to be in 2026? The Democrats have a major cash disadvantage going in, but the polls are favorable. Historically, it favors the opposing party. And they're going to run this Epstein thing. They're going to run it from now until the midterm elections. And you know what's going to happen? The Democrats are going to take the House. And what happens in 2027 when Democrats have a majority in the House? They get committees. They get subpoena power. And what do you think they're going to do throughout 2027? They're going to haul everybody before the House committee, the House Select Committee on Jeff Epstein, the House Select Committee on all these things, and they're going to drudge up all this stuff in 2027. They're going to compel testimony. They're going to compel the release of more documents, and they're going to put it in the media by talking about it and doing it, impeaching, indicting. They're going to put it in the media, and they're going to do it throughout 2027. Into 2028. And then it's going to be a story in the 2028 election. Okay? This isn't going anywhere because the Democrats are going to be pushing it. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. And here's the thing about all this. You know, in a certain sense, obviously the Democrats are exploiting it for their advantage. Let's not be naive here. Okay? Democrats are implicated in the files just as much as Republicans. They just are. Bill Clinton was on Lolita Express. Howard Lutnick is inviting Epstein to a Hillary Clinton fundraiser. Epstein is using similar coded language, just like the Podestas were in the WikiLeaks emails with Pizzagate. So let's not pretend like anybody's innocent here. It's Republicans and Democrats. And it is true that the Biden administration had 4 years to release the files, and they didn't. So the Democrats are exploiting it. Here is the issue for Republicans. They ran on releasing the files. And more than that, they ran on draining the swamp. Isn't that the whole conceit of Trumpism? Isn't that the whole point? Trump ran in 2016 saying, we are going to drain the swamp. We are the voice for the forgotten men and women of America. I am not a politician. I am an outsider. And we're going to deliver a real victory. And we are going to get rid of the corruption. And we're going to make America great again. I mean, literally, that was the conceit of the first Trump administration. And I told you at the very beginning, there's something sort of richly ironic about this hearing. Because when I see Pam Bondi and she's fielding these questions and she's doing this Trumpian pivot and she says, you're a loser lawyer. You have Trump derangement syndrome. You're a failed politician. What about our record? She's channeling Trump. That's classic Trump. You're a loser lawyer. She's channeling Trump. But in a way, it's like it's a sick farce. It's like a warped and twisted and ironic farce, because when Trump invented that playbook in 2016, when he would call them Little Marco and Lion Ted and all that kind of stuff, Crooked Hillary, when he would pivot and he would do these kinds of things, it was attractive and it was appealing and it felt righteous because he was sitting on our side. He was the voice of the people. And he was directing it against a corrupt establishment. He was fielding questions from the corrupt establishment, which was connected to Epstein, which was connected to the Podestas, which was connected to all this evil stuff. All the lies about the wars in the Middle East, all the lies about the elites, all the lies about the weird sexual stuff at Comet Ping Pong and the weird art and all of that. And Trump was fighting them on our behalf. So when he was diminutive, when he was calling them Little Marco and Lion Ted and Crooked Hillary and doing that playbook, he was the champion of the people. Now, here we are 10 years later and it's reversed. And like I said, it's like a sick parody. It's like a bizarro parody of Trumpism where now Trump's people represent a new establishment. It's like Animal Farm. And now the new guard is indistinguishable from the old regime. The Trumpists, Mar-a-Lago, MAGA, is indistinguishable from the Clinton machine, from the global special interests. I mean, think about this. In 2016, Trump was railing against special interests, the big banks, the international institutions, foreign governments, foreign spies. And he was even talking about how Bill Clinton was a sexual predator. Now it's a mirror image. And it's Thomas Massie and the Democrats interrogating Trump's attorney general. And they're in the position of protecting the privileged. They are protecting the pedophiles. They are protecting the elites, the sex traffickers. You have the Democrats and Thomas Massie interrogating the Trump administration about how they are not being transparent. They're covering up for Epstein. They're covering up for the bankers. They're covering up for Ronald Lauder. They're covering up for Les Wexner. They're covering up for the Emirates, for Israel, for Ehud Barak. They're trying to save face for the global special interests, for the corrupt, for these degenerates that run the society. And Pam Bondi is doing it in this Trumpian way, and it's like a house of mirrors. It's like an evil, wicked farce. She's doing the, oh, okay, little Marco in defense of Epstein. Okay, lying lawyer. Oh, that's Trump derangement syndrome. You're a failed politician. In defense of Jeffrey Epstein and Les Wexner and world Jewry. Literally the sickest shit imaginable. And like I said on Friday, who are they really protecting? And this is important. People say they're pedo protectors. It is true that the people they're protecting are engaged in sexual assault. And increasingly, it looks like they are protecting something more sinister. When you look at the coded language and the rest of it, at the minimum, it's sexual perversion, trafficking, prostitution, at the minimum, what can be proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. What they're really protecting, however, is world Jewry. As we talked about on Friday, every single thing about Epstein is Jewish. Leon Black and Les Wexner, his two benefactors, Jewish. Howard Lutnick, Benjamin Black, Kevin Warsh, all of these Trump admin nominees and personnel, they're all Jewish and connected to Epstein. When you see Pam Bondi going out there as the gladiator in defense of this, talking about the stock market, it is in defense of global Jewry, which controls this administration. And there's something really twisted about this, which is there is another lens to look at the Trump administration. A lot of people see the Trump administration as a disappointment or a failure. They look at it as a mixed bag. Well, we're getting some things, but we're disappointed with other things. We're rooting for Trump, but some things we can't get over. It's very important to have the right mental model about what is really happening. We have to categorize things and periodize things correctly. It's very important how we conceptualize things. And I think people are conceptualizing the Trump administration all wrong. I think about the plan trusters, people that really support the president, voted for the president. And in their mind, you know, they like Trump. They agree with Trump. Trump represents the party they support. And they're looking at it like it's a race or like it's a game. And they're in the stands and they're cheering. They got their foam finger, they got their hat, and they need to keep the morale up. They got to rally and they got to clap and do the wave so that their guy on the field gets a boost and he can win the race. He can win the game. And they're looking at it like it's this back and forth. There's innings, there's quarters. You know, sometimes Trump is in the lead and he's really performing well. And sometimes he falls behind. He's not doing so well. And we got to show up for the team, win, lose, or draw, rain or shine. That's kind of how they look at it. They're looking at it like a horse race, like a baseball game. And when they see this stuff with Epstein, they say to themselves, like a fan does in the stands, they say, come on, Trump, what are you doing? You know, keep your eye on the ball. They're saying, come on, come on, ump, that's a terrible call. You know, what are you doing? But this is how they're looking at it. This is the wrong mental model. It's the wrong way to look at it. There's another lens how you can look at the Trump administration. I don't think it's like that at all. I don't think it's a horse race. I don't think it's a baseball game. I don't think he's our team. He's not our team representing us. Trump is a man, and he's representing himself. And 2 years ago, he had a lot of problems. He was a man with a lot of problems. He was facing 100 years in prison. And that was a problem that could only be solved by becoming the president, right? You're Trump. You're one of the most hated men in the world. You're going bankrupt. You're facing 100 years in prison. And you don't just have yourself to worry about, but your whole family. Maybe you can afford to go to prison, although you don't want to. But who's going to take care of the Trump organization? And what are those people going to do when they're out of a job? So Trump has to run for office and he's got to win. Well, how does he do that? Who's going to help him win the presidency? Well, it's pretty clear that after October 7th, the Jews decided that a Republican had to win. And they didn't want it to be Trump. First, they wanted it to be DeSantis. Then they wanted it to be Haley. And Trump, as a self-advocate, fought them and got the nomination. So they got stuck with Trump, but they needed him to win. And they needed him to win, maybe to do these jobs. They needed Trump to win. Why? So they could turn Gaza into a smart city, into a blockchain smart city. They needed Trump so they could take the West Bank. They needed Trump so they could expand the Abraham Accords in Syria and Lebanon. They needed Trump so they could get their war with Iran. They needed Trump maybe to bury the Epstein files. And one way to look at Trump is that he is like a Trojan horse. You are the sucker, actually, in this deal. It's not like Trump needed the Jewish money to get elected to help you out. No, he needed your votes to get elected, to help the Jewish money out. And MAGA, the movement, is just a casualty. That's kind of how you have to look at it. For them, all of the hopes and dreams and aspirations that were projected onto Trump or placed onto Trump, the true belief, the following, all of this to them is an acceptable casualty. It's collateral damage. It will burn up like a rocket. On re-entry, all of that is stuff that will burn up so that the payload can be delivered. And the payload is the war. The payload is the cover-up. Trump is a lame duck. He's term limited out. And this administration is really about securing as much money as possible for him and his cronies so that he can have a golden parachute. That's really what this is. When you pay very close attention, Trump coin and gold card and Trump this and Trump that, all the shit that he's selling, all the deals that he's doing on behalf of Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the Emirates and Israel, this is him building a safety net, a golden parachute for him and his family. That's what everybody in the cabinet is doing. In order to secure that, they're using the public office. The wars, the deals, all these different things. And in the process, all of that goodwill is being basically burned up as fuel. It's being eaten up and destroyed. That's really the proper mental model. I said it the other night, Trump wasn't elected and he's covering up the files, much to our dismay. Trump isn't elected and he's not doing mass deportations to our frustration. He's not elected and he's going to war. And, you know, we're like Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar. Like, what are you doing? War with Iran? What are you thinking, Merv? You know, like, no, you can't do this. Like, no, he got elected to do those things. He got elected to bring us to war in Iran, to cover up the files, to bring in the H-1Bs. That's why he's there. And unless and until you understand that, it's just going to keep happening. And it will happen again in 28 with Vance. Who is Pam Bondi? Who picked Pam Bondi, actually? It's an important question. Anybody know where Pam Bondi comes from? These are the details you guys need to think about, need done. You want to understand politics? Where does J.D. Vance come from? Ohio. Les Wexner is from Ohio. Vivek is from Ohio. Palmer Luckey is building his plant in Ohio. Okay, these are the things that matter. Where is Pam Bondi from? Florida. Mike Waltz, the disgraced national security advisor who sold this out to Netanyahu, is from Florida. Marco Rubio, puppet of the Adelsons, sponsor of regime change, is from Florida. Why are these people from Florida? Because Susie Wiles, the chief of staff, is from Florida. The Ballard lobbyist, she's from Florida. And she brought all the Florida creatures with her. Who else is from Florida? The Adelsons. The Adelsons are headquartered in Florida and they sponsor everybody in Florida. Because what's Florida? It's a Jewish stronghold. South Florida's a Jewish stronghold. Pam Bondi is some idiot Zionist politician from Florida, from the DeSantis office, which is pro-Jewish. Okay? You are never going to get anything other than this. People are disappointed. You are never going to get anything other than this. It was apparent last year in December during the transition when Trump was making his selections for the cabinet and it was Rubio, Waltz, Bondi, Kristi Noem, Ratcliffe. We knew we were going to get fucked. We knew it because that's where they came from and that's who they are. And people are shaking their head. They're disappointed. They're surprised. You can't be. You can't be. This is what you get. I warned you about Susie Wiles. I warned you about Pam Bondi. I warned you about Rubio, Vance, Waltz, all these people. And now she's in the congressional hearing. They're asking her to release the files. She says, what about the stock market? We're moving on. What about our record? Yeah, what about your record? It sucks. So the Epstein files are going to destroy the Trump movement and good. They should. The Trump movement deserves to be destroyed and something else needs to be born from it. Something else needs to grow in its place. Something stronger, tougher, harder, more severe. And it's not J.D. Vance, I'll tell you that much. By the way, where's our good pal J.D. Vance on the files? Here, let me tell you the most important question to ask in the next 3 years. Where is J.D. Vance on the Epstein files? You know, because everybody keeps telling me that J.D. Vance is the real deal. Everybody keeps telling me, no, I've talked to him and he's legit. No, I trust him. No, I think he's good. You know, I think he's the real deal. Oh, really? Why? Because he did a photo op with Charlie Kirk's casket? Why? Because he threw himself in front of the cameras? Every opportunity on immigration, on the issues for the base, because he was at the Turning Point Convention. Where is J.D. Vance, the whisperer to the base? Where is he on the Epstein files? He's pulling up Bronze Age pervert GPT to try to find the base thing to say about this, isn't he? Like everything else. He's trying to go to the AI model that was trained on BAP and Raw Egg Nationalist that was funded by Peter Thiel, and he's trying to find the LLM that's going to tell him what to say about the files. Where is it? It's not in Palladium. Where is it? Where's my hot take? Where's my hot take for the base chuds on the Epstein files? I'm not getting it. It's not coming up. Where is fat chud J.D. Vance that just wants to drink Code Red and play Halo with you on this one? Is he going to prosecute Les Wexner? Is he going to speak out against Howard Lutnick? Is he going to push the DOJ for accountability? Or is he going to defer to President Trump on this one, like he does with everything? This fucking idiot. So I'm telling you, this Epstein thing, this is the albatross. This is the rotting, infected wound in the center of the Trump movement. It is going to kill it slowly, and I cannot wait. cannot wait. I hope the Epstein scandal costs them the midterms. I hope it allows Democrats to impeach and indict and subpoena every member of this Trump government. And I hope that this goes on until 2028. And I hope that this piece of shit Trump administration brings down J.D. Vance with it. I fantasize about the Trump administration being a burning building and J.D. Vance is chained to the mattress and he's going to burn with it. I cannot fucking wait, because it couldn't happen to a more deserving person and group of people than these. That's my hope. That is my aspiration. And out of the ashes of this disaster, we can actually get something real. We can actually get something new, something different. We could get somebody, maybe it's a dark horse, maybe it's somebody nobody's talking about yet, but we could get a different kind of candidate that's actually going to do the job. That's my aspiration. That's my hope here. And mark my words, that is what's going to happen. Democrats are going to ride this one. They are going to bring the House of Cards down, and they're going to bring it down on fat ass J.D. Vance. You played yourself, Tucker. Tucker played himself on this one. Tucker and Vance, all these people, Peter Thiel, they played themselves. You know, I can't destroy the Thiel Network, but he can, Jeffrey Epstein. And you wonder why we stan Epstein. You wonder why we wear the quarter zip. You know, I can't bring down the Jewish-controlled Trump puppet government. I can't bring down the entity known as J.D. Vance. But he can. Jeffrey Epstein in the background. But he can. Jeffrey Epstein, if you can hear, from beyond the grave. From beyond the grave, Jeffrey Epstein is going to bring down the Trump edifice and the roof will cave in on top of J.D. Vance and that whole fake bullshit thing they're trying to foist upon us. It's perfect. It's poetic. I'm here for it. And you know what? Here's the best part. It doesn't even need to be this way. At any time, they could reverse this. Don't you realize that? At any point in time, the Trump administration could reverse this and they could have a golden age. How? Fire Howard Lutnick, indict Les Wexner, release the files, feed these people to the sharks, not yourself. If Trump were smart, he would feed them to the wolves. Instead of going down with the ship. It doesn't have to be this way. If Trump unredacted all the files, if he came out on Truth Social tomorrow and said, you know what, enough bullshit, Pam Bondi, release every file, unredact everything, we'll indict everybody, we'll fire anybody that's named in there, the approval would flip overnight. Overnight. Trump's approval with 18 to 29s would soar. Favorability would soar. Job approval would soar. Overnight, it would be corrected and he would be seen as a hero. All he has to do, cut the foreign aid to Israel, call up Netanyahu and say, we are standing with Iran. We are standing with our other allies, Turkey, Egypt, Emirates, Qatar, Pakistan, Oman, and soon to be Iran. We are not bombing them. We're not doing another Middle Eastern war. As a matter of fact, we're doing regime change in Israel. When is Israel going to hold the new election? And when are you actually going to see justice? We'll stand behind our European allies, France, UK, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, Germany, Italy, calling for accountability for Israel. Trump did those two things. He would cement his legacy as one of the great presidents of all time. He would be the people's champion. He would be America first. He could do it. He's the president of the United States. And the next move, you do all that, you get enough political capital, you get rid of the filibuster rule, You do the nuclear option, you get rid of the filibuster, and then you jam through voting reform. You jam through nationwide voter ID and Republicans never lose an election again. You jam through mandatory E-Verify. You deport 5 million illegals in 4 years. Like, it could be done. You're the president. You are the president. You have the power. You're in the chair. You're in the office. But they won't. These are the two realities that we could inhabit. Either one, Trump goes down with world Jewry. He goes down with the ship. He goes down with Israel and Les Wexner and Jeff Epstein and Howard Lutnick and this sick shit. Or he could do the right thing. And maybe that's idealistic and maybe that's naive. But you're the president. You could take a stand. You could hunker down in the White House. You could get your Secret Service and you can make it a fortress and you can lean in. That's really what it is. So this is your Pam Bondi situation. What a joke. That's your attorney general. You should feel embarrassed. You should feel humiliated. Trump promised most transparent administration. We're going to release the Epstein files. We're going to put America first. We're going to drain the swamp. And now you've got Epstein. You've got Ronald Lauder in the files. Leon Black's kid is running the Development Finance Corporation. Ronald Lauder's kid is going to be the chair of the Federal Reserve. Howard Lutnick is the Commerce Secretary. All these guys are on the board for peace in Gaza. Joe Lonsdale's working with Benjamin Black on the DFC. Peter Thiel invested $40 million with Epstein, and his guy Vance is the vice president. Like, it's so entrenched. They told you they were going to release the files, and now you got your attorney general defending all of that. Who would have thought? Who would have thought in 2016, when Trump was saying the war in Iraq was a mistake and we're going to build a wall and all this kind of stuff, who would have thought Trump would be the one to deliver the decisive blow, the regime change war against Iran that Israel always wanted? It's so backwards. Who would have thought that Trump would be the one to protect the ultimate insider, Jeffrey Epstein? Talk about a swamp. Who would have thought? So that's the state of the play. That's your Pam Bondi. Who could even defend that? Where's John Doyle? Where's Patrick Casey? You going to defend that performance? You fucking idiots. I look at a guy like John Doyle from Blaze TV. He literally got hired to be a goyish version of me. That's what you are. You are a skin-suited, goyish version of me. You are the version of me that is paid by Glenn Beck, the wannabe Jew, because you're never going to criticize Israel. You're going to glaze Trump. And Doyle's job on Goy TV, on Blaze TV, is to glaze Trump. It's like Glaze TV. Your job is to go in and day out and say, here's why Trump is the end-all be-all. Here's why voting Republican. What do you have to say about this? Pam Bondi goes there and says, what about the Dow? She's a fucking idiot, and Trump hired her. And there is something in the Epstein files, and they are covering it up, obviously. What do you have to say about Les Wexner? What do you have to say about these people being involved in this? And they say, oh, it's a Democrat hoax. It's a big nothing burger. Do you even believe yourself? Do you even believe what you're saying? They have been memed into being these, like, Republican creatures. Once upon a time, Trump was an outsider that blew up the establishment in both parties. Now Trump is the Republican establishment, and you are just on the hamster wheel now. You're just on the wheel. You are on the treadmill, forever chasing the reward that will never arrive. We'll get him in the next one, right? Isn't that right? You know, before the election, this is the most important election ever. This is the one. It's going to be different this time. Then you're in it. Ah, well, we know it's not everything you wanted, but you know, we got to help him finish the job. We got to vote in the next one, right? You are literally a mouse. You are a hamster on a wheel chasing a reward. You are a mouse on a wheel chasing a block of cheese. 2016, we're going to make America great again. 2018, you know, we didn't even get started on that wall. But that's because we just need more votes. 2020, okay, we didn't build anything. Well, you got to vote for us. We could keep it great. 2022, well, you know, we didn't even try to have election integrity or anything. We got to hold the line or the Democrats are going to eat our lunch. 2024, golden age. 2026, well, we got to get back on track. We need another vote. Yep, just keep running. Just keep running. Just keep running. Just keep running on that wheel, running on the treadmill. You'll get the cheese eventually. You'll get the reward. In the meantime, the other side is getting everything they want. You know, they got their corporate tax cut. That's been a done deal for 10 years. You know, think about that. We can't get a stinking wall built. You know how much a border wall costs? It costs $17 billion. Do you know how much a corporate tax rate cut costs? Like $800 billion. You know, like think of it. 10 years ago, Trump said, we're going to build a wall and Mexico will pay for it. That costs $17 billion. You know how much it costs to cut corporate taxes 10% for 10 years? Like $500 billion. And we've had it for 10 years. Think about that. You know how much money we've given Israel in the past 10 years? $38 billion. You know how much we gave them last year? $25 billion. So you're chasing that reward on the hamster wheel. And meanwhile, AI gets their regulation moratorium. Wall Street gets their corporate tax cut. They get their lower interest rate. They get their COVID bailout. Israel gets their aid, their missiles, their war. You see, this is the problem. Anyway, but that's that. You know, and they say, well, we can't do deportations because it's unpopular. Then they cover up the Epstein files, right? We can't do deportations. It's too unpopular. Then they cover up the Epstein files. You know, DHS just gets finished. We got to draw down ICE. We're not going to deport anybody at all. Just the worst criminals ever because it's too unpopular. Then they walk down the hall and they say, you're out of order. Jeffrey Epstein was a model citizen and Howard Lutnick did nothing wrong. It's like, okay, you're being fucked. You're being lied to and you are being raped. You know, we're just so sorry. We cannot deport 10 million people. Too unpopular and like we don't have the money and it just can't happen. Covering up the Epstein files like your life depends on it. Hey, say no more. It will be done. It will be done, my Lord. I pledge myself to your teachings, Lord Wexner. Like this is how it is. So, unless and until the base rises up of middle American radicals and puts their foot down and says, we're not voting for any of it. And I think here's my playbook, okay? This is the future. You know where this is headed? We need an independent candidate. Maybe they're going to run in the Republican primary, and if they don't win, they're going to go independent. But this is what we need to do. We need a spoiler. We need to run as Republican, and if we don't win, we need to be a spoiler. I recognize it's a bad idea to tell people don't vote, because then people say, well, we got to use our vote, we got to... Here's what we got to do. Run in the Republican primary. If you don't win, run as a spoiler. And we need everybody to vote for the spoiler. Call it the America First nuclear option. Call it the America First Samson option. This is the Nick Fuentes option. This is the yay button. This is our Samson option. You don't want to release the files. You don't want to deport the illegals. We are all going to vote for a third-party candidate. We're all going to vote for an independent. that is promising to go after Les Wexner, that is promising to release the files, that is promising to get Israel to back down. And we're not going to get a majority. But if we get even 5%, 10%, Republicans cannot win an election. If we get 5 to 10% in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona, Texas, Nevada, Georgia, you are fucked. And you can't win. You can't win. Can't win in those states. You can't win in Iowa. You can't win in Ohio. You can't win in Indiana. And it'll be different state by state. But if we can get enough people to vote for an America First candidate, an America First independent, then you lose the election. So either you get that endorsement because you do what we say, or it's off the table. You can't win. That's how we have to play. That's the only thing we can do. And we got to take that challenge to fat boy J.D. Vance. That's what he's going to have to contend with. It's not good enough. It's not enough. That's my playbook for 2026, 2028. They're asking, what do you want? What is it that you actually want? I want a cleansing fire. They say, we can't just burn it all down. We're going to. We're going to. You fucked up, and now we're going to. We are going to burn it all down, and we're going to build something different. And I don't care how long it takes. Maybe it'll take 30 years. I'm a young man. And I got nothing but time. I don't have money. I don't have connections. Okay, I don't have a family. I got nothing but time. Nothing but time. It'll take 30 years to rebuild. I got 30 years. I'm 27. I got 30 years. I'll still be spry. I'll still be, I'll watch my McDonald's intake or whatever, but we got time. Fuck them. Fuck them. This administration has squandered any goodwill, any faith that we had in your ability to fix things. You don't have it. Fuck you. You know, now the whole administration says criminal illegals. Fuck you. She goes up there and says, what about the Dow Jones? What about that? You think any Zoomer is in the Dow Jones? You think any Zoomer is into the stock market? Zoomers are lucky if they have a fucking job, you know? Trump goes up there and says, what about your 401ks? And we want asset prices to go up indefinitely. Okay, what about everybody that's under the age of 45? What about everybody that's under the age of 30 that can't afford a home, that doesn't have a job, gets laid off, takes you a year to get another job, underemployed, you got a degree, and you're working an hourly wage, working a part-time job or something? That's ridiculous.